Hey, friends, and welcome to episode 225 of It's About Time, a podcast sharing stories and strategies to inspire better work, life, and balance. I'm your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick, and today's episode is all about balance. But before we dive into the ins and outs of balance, lately I've been finding myself falling down an Instagram rabbit hole of content all about creating little kits. Seriously, like little kits. This one account that I follow seems to have a kit for everything. A car cleaning kit, a car travel kit, a snack kit, a hotel cleaning kit, a medicine kit, even a surgery recovery kit. You name it, and there's a kit for it. And the thing about all of these kits is that every single one is so aesthetically pleasing, cute, and perfectly organized into matching aesthetic pouches and clear plastic containers. It really is a dream to look at and to watch this creator assemble all of these perfect little kits. I was even inspired to make a few kits of my own, like my little kit filled with medicine and cleaning supplies that I take with me to hotels when I'm traveling for speaking engagements. And every time I pull it out of my suitcase, unzip the clear plastic pouch, and take out all of the contents, y'all, I really feel like my life is so together. Like, way to go, Anna. You really thought of everything. And I think the reason why I love these kit assembly videos so much is that most of the time, life has us feeling like we're being pulled in 100 different directions. And I'm gonna bet you know exactly what that feels like. Maybe your work has been demanding more than its fair share of your time, or family responsibilities are overwhelming every ounce of your energy. We've all been there, feeling as if we're supposed to maintain this perfect equilibrium, like we should always have a 50-50 balance between our personal and professional lives. But let's be real. Life isn't neat or predictable. It doesn't fit neatly into compartments, like those perfect matching aesthetic kits on Instagram, where everything is the perfect shade of beige or white or light blue and aligns perfectly all the time. So that's what we're unpacking today. Not the kits. We're not unpacking kits. We're unpacking balance. So unless you've been living under a rock since, I don't know, the 80s when work-life balance came into our vernacular, typically when we hear the phrase balance, we tend to think of 50-50, two equal sides. It's this shiny ideal state where everything in life aligns perfectly. Half of our time and energy goes into our careers, or our businesses, whatever work looks like for you. And the other half magically distributes itself among family, friends, self-care, and hobbies. I mean, that sounds nice, right? But if you're like me or anyone else juggling the highs and lows of real life, you know that that's just not how things work. It's easy to understand why so many people say work-life balance is not a thing, or work-life balance isn't real, or I don't believe in work-life balance. In fact, just the simple act of striving for this mythical perfect balance can actually set us up for frustration and burnout. So instead of striving for something that doesn't exist, we'll talk about finding a rhythm that works for you, an adaptable, ever-changing balance that fits your current life's demands and protects your personal well-being. That's why in this episode, I'm going to talk about how the myth of a 50-50 balance sets unrealistic expectations and why it's important to understand that perfect balance doesn't exist. I'll share three red flags to watch out for when life is becoming maybe a little too lopsided. You'll learn when to test drive simple strategies to create a healthier balance. And finally, I'm going to talk about how small, consistent adjustments can lead to significant changes in how you feel about your time. So grab your coffee, take a deep breath, and let's look at how we can shift our mindset and start crafting a life that feels balanced, not because it's split evenly, but because it's split wisely. And because I know that you're probably making the most of your time and you're listening in the car while you're running errands or you're doing stuff around the house, I know it might be a little inconvenient for you to drop what you're doing and take notes. So don't worry, I've got you covered. You can find all the details from this episode over in the show notes. And today's show notes can be found at abouttimepodcast.com/225. All right, it's about time we get started. So let's get this show on the road.
You're listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Around here, we believe that busy is not a badge of honor. Your host, Anna Dearman-Cornick, is here to share tips and strategies to help you make the most of your time. Listen in on real conversations and success stories to find out how other go-getters are getting things done. If you're ready to step away from the overwhelm and spend your time on what matters most, then you're in the right place. Here's your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick.
Here's a little secret. That perfect 50-50 balance we all hear about, it doesn't really exist. So let's talk about why that's perfectly okay. So we've kicked off our chat today with a pretty bold statement. The perfect 50-50 balance is a myth. So let's unpack that a bit. Why is this idea so popular and yet so unrealistic? Think for a second about all of the roles you play in your life. You're possibly a parent. Maybe you're climbing that career ladder, building your business. You're a friend, a partner. The list goes on. Now, can you imagine trying to split your time equally between each of these roles every day? That sounds exhausting, and honestly, it's just not possible. Life isn't neat or predictable, and sometimes one area of our life is just going to need more attention than others. And that's not failure, that's just reality. Trying to maintain some kind of a strict 50-50 split can lead us to feel like we're constantly falling short. So why do we hang on to this idea? Well, the answer might not be what you think. The thing about 50-50 balance is that it gives us a clear goal to aim for. It gives us a formula. We like clear. As humans, we like things that are easy to understand. And what is easier to understand than a 50-50 breakdown, straight down the middle? There's a reason why explain it to me like I'm five is a common request these days when things get complicated. But just because something is easy to understand doesn't make it possible in real life. It's like something that works in theory but completely falls apart in practice. And it sets us up for frustration because life is fluid and dynamic. It changes day by day, sometimes minute by minute. You've probably heard me say before that balance is a feeling, not a formula. But if it were, how would you go about creating that formula? Well, the answer is personal, and it changes as our lives and our priorities shift. Your version of work-life balance 5 years ago probably wouldn't make sense based on what your life looks like now. And again, that's okay. Before we move on, there's one pitfall I really want to make sure that we avoid, and it's a big one. Once we acknowledge that the perfect 50-50 balance, as easy as it is to understand, is a complete and total myth, there's a temptation to swing completely the other way and to think, well, if I can't have perfect balance, if work-life balance isn't a thing, then why bother trying at all? And this kind of thinking can actually lead us into more chaos. It's like saying, if I can't follow my diet perfectly, I might as well eat ice cream and cookies for every meal. But here's the kicker. Abandoning all efforts to find balance can leave us feeling more overwhelmed, more stressed, and less fulfilled. Well, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Finding a healthy mix, a balance that feels right for you and your unique circumstances, is not about giving up. It's adjusting, it's shifting, and it's being flexible with how we distribute our time and our energy based on what our life demands at any given moment. So I encourage you to start thinking about balance not as a set in stone perfect 50-50 split, but instead as an always adjusting, sliding scale. Some days, work might take up 70% of your time, and other days, only 30%. The key? It's making those adjustments on that sliding scale intentionally and making sure that over time, nothing important is being completely neglected. So now that we've busted the myth of the perfect 50-50 balance, and we can agree that just because 50-50 balance isn't real doesn't mean that we should completely give up altogether, let's talk about how to tell when our lives might be tipping a bit too much in one direction. It's easy to miss the signs until we're completely in over our head overwhelmed, right? It's almost like it can sneak up on us. So listen up. And if any of these red flags sound familiar, it might be time to rework your personal balance formula. So the first red flag is constant exhaustion. And I'm not talking about usual end of the day tiredness. This is more like, I can't remember the last time I wasn't tired, kind of exhausted. If that's how you feel, it's a sign that things are off balance. Now, as a mom of a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, I completely understand that exhaustion comes in a lot of forms. There's multiple wake-ups in the middle of the night exhaustion. There's my kids and I have been trading germs and everyone has been sick for the last 3 weeks exhaustion. There's sleep regression exhaustion. And that's not the kind of constant exhaustion we're talking about with this red flag. The exhaustion I'm talking about here goes deeper. It's chronic, and it doesn't seem to ease up even after a good night's sleep. This feels like feeling drained almost all the time, no matter what you do to rest or recuperate. It's the kind of fatigue that lingers and starts to impact every aspect of your life, your mood, your productivity, your relationships. And you might even find yourself chugging ventis instead of grandes just to get through the day. And maybe you find that you're snapping at your loved ones and that everything feels like a chore, even things you used to enjoy, if only you had time for things you used to enjoy. So let's say that this sounds familiar and that your kids or illness aren't impacting your sleep. If that's the case, it might be important to recognize that something is out of balance. Maybe you're overcommitting yourself, or maybe you're prioritizing work or other obligations over your own well-being. Or perhaps you're not delegating enough and you're trying to handle everything on your own, whether that's because you don't have anyone to delegate to or you don't want to inconvenience anyone. Recognizing this kind of exhaustion is crucial because it's your body's way of telling you to slow down and reassess how you're spending your energy. And it's a real wake-up call that something needs to change, whether it's setting better boundaries, learning how to say no, or prioritizing your mental and physical health. So if you're constantly feeling wiped out, with the caveat that your kids are not waking you up in the middle of the night, take a moment to really think about what might be causing this imbalance. Are there any areas in your life where you can pull back a bit and add some more rest and recharge into your days? Because taking care of yourself isn't a luxury. It is absolutely necessary for maintaining both your happiness and your health. All right. Here's the second red flag to look out for, and it's a lack of personal time. Having a lack of personal time isn't just about not having time to relax or watch TV or enjoy hobbies, although those things are certainly important. Instead, when I'm talking about a lack of personal time, here I mean consistently finding yourself with zero space in your calendar that's just for you. I mean space where you're not in mom mode or boss mode or partner mode or any other obligation. You're just being you. When every minute of your day is accounted for with work tasks, family duties, social commitments, or even volunteer community responsibilities, it's easy to lose track of your own needs, and you might start to feel like you're always on, always in demand, and there's just no time to recharge. And this lack of personal time can absolutely lead to burnout because it's like trying to run a car nonstop without ever taking it in to get the oil changed. Eventually, something's going to give. You're going to fry the engine, and you don't want that something to be your mental or physical health. So stop right now. Seriously, stop right now and ask yourself, when is the last time that you did something just for the joy of it? Just for fun, for the sake of having fun, something just for you. And this could be going on a walk. This could be reading a book. This could be watching one of your favorite shows, whatever. If you're struggling to remember the last time you had a moment to yourself without feeling rushed, without feeling guilty, it might be time to pause and rethink your priorities, your boundaries, and your current commitments. This might mean saying no to some things so you can say yes to yourself. There are no rules against scheduling personal time for yourself just as you would a meeting at work. In fact, when I'm working with members of the It's About Time Academy as they're creating their ideal weeks, I encourage them to block personal time on their calendars, making it a non-negotiable. Remember, it is not selfish to take time for yourself. It is essential. It's what allows you to keep giving in other areas of your life without depleting yourself completely. Think about what you can adjust to carve out that time for yourself. Even small changes, small pockets of time can make a big difference, giving you those necessary pauses to breathe and enjoy life, making you more resilient and even more present along the way in every other aspect of your life. Okay, y'all, so I know we could all probably use a little more time in our day, right? You're no stranger to busy schedules and intentionally filling them up to the brim because you just have so much to get done. But sometimes it feels like you don't really ever have the time to just slow down and enjoy the simple things. Simple things like when my toddlers are giggling and playing nicely together in the backyard, or when a Sunday afternoon nap sounds too good to pass up. We all want more time to enjoy these kinds of things, right? Well, if you love personality quizzes like I do, then you're in for a treat. In my new quiz, which you can take for free at annadcornick.com/quiz, I'm helping you uncover what it will take to get you from chaos to calm, to finally feel like you have space in your days. I know it can feel downright frustrating to keep using the same old time management strategies that just don't seem to work for you. You've got the planners, the calendars, the apps, you're doing all the things, but you still feel like you have no time. And that's because you need time management strategies that work for your personality and your life. In my 10 plus years working in crisis communications and chaos management, and all the time I've spent with my clients, I've learned that everyone has their own needs. And knowing what those needs are can really help you discover the best approach to planning your days. Knowing yourself can help you ease up busy schedules and find more calm and clarity in your week. Do you want to know how to get there? To have more breathing room in your days? Let's figure out your time management personality type so you can uncover exactly what you need to do to feel more productive, less stressed, and more balanced. You can take the quiz at annadcornick.com/quiz, and I'll make sure to link to the quiz in our show notes. All right, on with the show. All right, two red flags down, one to go. Our third red flag is all about relationships. Our meaningful connections with family, friends, and partners that might be suffering if our lives are totally out of balance. Not only do you find yourself having less time for others, but the quality of time you spend together is also lacking. So if you find that conversations with friends are constantly cut short, or maybe you're physically there, but mentally you're running through your to-do list, trying to figure out what you might have forgotten or what still needs to be done, or if every interaction feels rushed or obligatory, that's a sign that things might be tipping too far in one direction. When work-life balance is straining your relationships, that can lead to feelings of disconnect and frustration, not just for you, but also for the people you care about. You know, I've shared before that back when I first started my career in crisis communications, I looked up to the women that I worked alongside who were in high-powered, important positions. I'd see them stepping out of meetings to take calls. In social settings, I'd see them again, stepping out of the room to take calls. And you know what? I wanted to be that person. I wanted to be that woman who was so important, so needed in that moment that everything else had to wait. Until, of course, I actually became that woman and experienced firsthand what it felt like to step away from the table and watch as your friends, your family shook their heads because there you go again. The thing is, and I hate that I had to learn this the hard way, but the thing is that it's more than just missing a few family dinners or skipping a couple of brunches with friends. When our relationships start to feel strained, it can create a ripple effect, and you might start to notice tension building, resentment, Misunderstandings become more frequent. And support systems, especially when you really need support, start to feel broken. So what do you do if this red flag feels familiar? First, start by communicating openly with the people that you care about. Share your challenges. Let them in. Let them know how hard it is for you. And also let them know that you're working on finding a better balance. A lot of times, just being open and honest about your situation can ease a lot of the tension that you and the person on the other side of the relationship might be feeling. But of course, that also means that you have to follow through with actually creating that better balance for yourself. And we'll get to that in just a bit. But once you've been open and honest, next, look for ways to make relationship building a part of your routine. This could look like a weekly date night with your husband or your wife, your partner. This could look like setting aside time each day to connect with your kids. This could look like scheduling a regular phone call with a friend or planning simple get-togethers that don't require much preparation but allow for quality time. If you haven't listened to episode 223 featuring Andrea Olson, she talks about how she prioritizes relationships when she builds her schedule, and she looks for opportunities to incorporate fun activities into building a relationship. It's like killing two birds with one stone, or feeding two birds with one scone, as someone told me recently. And it's also remembering that getting together with a friend doesn't have to be a whole big thing. It could be as simple as a walk around the block to catch up. Remember, we were built for connection, and nurturing your relationships is absolutely vital, not just for your own happiness, but for creating a supportive and loving network around you. Your connections are the bedrock, the foundation of a balanced life. They ground us and they remind us why we're striving for balance in the first place. It reminds me of an afternoon last spring out in the backyard with my girls. It was the end of a pretty long day, but the weather outside was perfect. And there were still some more things on my to-do list that I could have hunkered down in my office to wrap up before dinner. But instead, I headed outside to push them on the swing. Because what is the work for? If the purpose of the work is to enable me to create a life for myself and my family, and yet I spend more time creating the life than living the life, then what am I doing? What's the point of it all? So, out in the backyard, pushing them in the swing, listening to them giggle and scream, I got one of the most important reminders that this, for me at least, this is what it's all about. This is what the work is for. And if I don't have this time, then the work is pointless. So now that we've identified and talked through three red flags that might be signaling to us that our life is a little bit out of balance, now let's talk about what we can actually do to start shifting things back toward a state that feels good for us. Let's take some actionable steps, no matter how small they may seem at first. So the first strategy I want to share with you is doing a time audit or a time study. And don't let the word audit freak you out. The IRS is not coming for you. Essentially, a time study is tracking your time for a week. It's doing a study of how you spend your time. I talk more about what it looks like to do a time study back in episode 51, but here are the quick and dirty instructions. First, decide what you'll use to track your time. You can go old school and carry around a pen and paper and track how much time you do everything throughout the course of your day, from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed. Or you can go a little more high tech and use time tracker software like Harvest or Toggle. Toggle is one of my favorites to set kind of like a stopwatch whenever you start doing something and then turn off the stopwatch whenever you stop doing that thing and then turn on a stopwatch to start the next thing. And it's a lot less complicated than it sounds, but essentially it's just a more digital way of doing time tracking. You can also track your time in a notes app. And as you're tracking it, you're tracking even the smallest things, like I brushed my teeth from this time to this time. I took a shower from this time to this time. I was on this work call from this time to this time. I watched TV from this time to this time, scrolled Instagram from this time to this time while watching TV and having a conversation. You kind of see what I mean. So what's the point of doing a time study? The thing is that you might be surprised to see how your time is actually being spent once you have a week's worth of a time study to take a close look at. You can ask yourself, what are you spending time on that you don't really need to? What activities that you spent your time on gave you energy? And what completely drained you? How often are you in default mode, opening up your phone to scroll Instagram for like 30 minutes at a time? When you can actually see the data, this will help you make informed decisions about where changes are needed. And that could look like cutting some things out, or maybe just tweaking them, but it's hard to know what's causing the imbalance when you don't have the numbers behind it. Otherwise, you're just operating based on assumptions and a feeling. The next strategy is all about setting boundaries. And I saw my friend Kelly Nolan post on Instagram recently about how the concept of setting boundaries is kind of lofty. I'm going to link to this Instagram post in the show notes. But basically what she said is that this concept of setting boundaries is kind of lofty, that it's like this high concept, and it's not something that you can touch or feel or understand. Like, what does it even mean to set boundaries? We know that setting boundaries and holding to them is critical for regaining balance when life is out of whack. And so setting boundaries starts with getting clear on what your non-negotiables are or what rules you want to set for yourself. That's kind of how I like to think of it. Now, if you know me, I am not a rule follower. If there is a rule, I'm going to look at how I can break it or bend it. And it might surprise you to find out that I'm actually kind of a parliamentary procedure, like Robert's Rules of Order enthusiast. I'll have to show you my trophies sometime. They're really cool. But when it comes to boundaries, I like to think about what rules am I setting for myself. So maybe you decide that you set a rule that you do not answer work emails after 7 p.m. Or maybe you set a rule for yourself that Sunday mornings are for family time only, no exceptions. Maybe you create a rule for yourself that you only do 3 meetings a day and no more than 3 because you know that you get completely drained and can't function after the 3rd meeting. Maybe you create a rule that you don't do any meetings on Wednesdays. The sky really is the limit when it comes to the rules, aka boundaries, that you can set for yourself in order to maintain those healthy boundaries in your life and at work. And then once you set those boundaries or you define those rules, here's a crazy tip, and it's to actually write them down. I'm talking pen to paper, write them down. There is something so concrete about writing down these rules for yourself that makes them feel so much more real. So promise me you won't skip that step. Remember, boundaries aren't there to hold you back. They're there to protect your time and your energy so that you can make sure that there's space available for what truly matters most to you. All right, and here's that third strategy. And I know that some of y'all are gonna roll your eyes, and I don't care. The third strategy is prioritizing self-care, prioritizing yourself. And I've talked about self-care enough on this podcast for you to know by now, hopefully, that self-care is a whole lot more than bubble baths and massages and getting your nails done. Yes, all three of those are definitely considered self-care. But self-care is just like time management. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing. What helps you feel recharged is going to be unique to you. Back in episode 217, I talked about how fun it can be to create a me time menu so that you always have some kind of self-care idea to fall back on whenever you need to recharge. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Self-care is not a luxury. Self-care is a necessity, and you cannot show up as your best self in the roles and responsibilities you have in your life if you do not take care of yourself. So get acquainted with what makes you feel recharged. Create your me time menu and build it into your calendar to make it happen. And as much as I wish that implementing 1, 2, or all 3 of these strategies could completely change your life overnight, magic wand style, and instantly redistribute your time and energy into your perfect version of work-life balance, let's be real. Small changes can lead to big shifts over time. So what's one small thing that you can adjust this week to make your life feel just a little bit more balanced? So there you have it. We've covered a lot today, from debunking myths about balance to recognizing red flags and diving into strategies that can help steer us back to a happier, healthier way of life. Balance isn't about perfection, and balance definitely isn't 50-50. Balance in the real world means making the best choices we can given our circumstances, and sometimes that means being okay with the messiness of life. We've got to embrace the fact that some days will be better than others, and that's completely normal. The changes that we talked about today don't have to happen all at once. Think of this as a step-by-step process. Maybe this week you start by tracking your time, and next week you try setting one small boundary or rule for yourself. And I'm going to say it one more time. Small steps lead to big changes, and every little bit of our effort counts. And one thing I do want to encourage you to do is keep a journal or use an app to track these changes that you're making and reflect on how they're impacting your life. You know, so often whenever we implement a new strategy or we try a new tactic, we just keep blowing and going and we don't stop to ask ourselves, is this working? How is this going? How do I feel? So I encourage you to really pay attention, be mindful, and notice the positive changes, no matter how small, because they can be incredibly motivating. And if you ever feel like you're starting to slip back into your old habits, that's okay too. You're human. It's all a part of the process. Notice, adjust, learn, and keep moving forward. Thank you again so much for tuning in today. If you found this episode to be even the least bit helpful, I hope you'll share it with someone who might also benefit from hearing about finding your version of balance in a lopsided, off-kilter world. And I'd love to know more about how you navigate work-life balance. So head over to the It's About Time podcast community on Facebook and let us know what works for you. You can find a link to the community over in the show notes or by going straight to abouttimepodcast.com/community. As always, all of the details from today's episode can be found in the show notes at abouttimepodcast.com/225. And before we go, let me give you a sneak preview about next week's episode, episode 226. In next week's episode, we're continuing the conversation around balance, but this time we're talking about the most important and most qualified architect for designing your unique version of work-life balance. Here's a hint, it's you. All right, that's all for today. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Head over to www.abouttimepodcast.com to join the conversation. Check out the show notes and dive into bonus content so you can start living your best life today. Love this episode? Be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.